Welcome to Retrospective Radio. With me on the line is the great Josh Hatchett. How you doing, Josh?
I'm doing pretty well. How are things with you?
Oh, things are good, man. We got part three of the main event project, talking about WrestleMania. Josh, have you ever heard of this show?
I believe vaguely. I might have once upon a time.
Okay. All right. Well, apparently it's a famous series of wrestling matches that occurs every year. In fact, some people call it the Super Bowl of wrestling.
Huh. Well,
yeah.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah. So this takes place in Madison Square Garden in New York, New York, March 31st, 1985. And our main event is Hulk Hogan and Mr. T versus Roddy Piper and Paul Orndorff. And
another guy I've kind of heard of, that Hulk Hogan guy.
The Hulk Hogan character, yeah. Yeah, I heard he just I heard he just became a bad guy again.
Yeah, it's shocking.
Yeah, yeah, not Turning Point, but Bound for Glory, that's what it was. Bound
yes.
for Glory 2010. Fantastic event from what I hear. But for those who don't know, Hulk Hogan was WWF champion and was pretty much solidified himself as the biggest star in wrestling at this point. Mr. T was a pretty famous actor from the successful television show The A-Team. And Roddy Piper was a big-time heel. And Paul Orndorff was kind of his running buddy and also a pretty big-time heel. And the setup for this is kind of the MTV had a number of TV specials and sort of promoting the rock and wrestling connection that was that everyone was excited about in 84 and 85. And at the war to settle the score, there was a match between Hogan and Piper. And I'm looking up war to settle the score exactly when that was right now. I think it was in February. But let's see. It was February 18th, 1985. So roughly 6 weeks before this show. And Piper and Hogan have the match, and then it ends up Orndorff comes in and they double team Hogan, and Cyndi Lauper, who's there, jumps up on the apron and tries to, you know, can persuade the heels not to attack Hogan, but that fails. And Piper goes after, but then Mr. T comes out of the crowd, out of nowhere, to come to Hogan's rescue. And although they end up, the heels end up kind of getting Mr. T from behind and beating up a little bit, but then Hogan manages to come to the rescue. And then they all celebrate with Cyndi Lauper and Captain Lou Albano. Who by this time Cyndi Lauper and Albano had been enemies for a while, but this time they were friends, and so it's just basically, you know, a hot little deal to to set up the match. And I found these cast of characters that were interviewed by Mean Gene Okerlund after the war to settle the score very interesting. Cyndi Lauper makes sense. Hulk Hogan also makes sense. Mr. T and Lou Albano also makes sense, and then Andy Warhol of all people. Which you might call that surreal.
Yes, that would be surreal.
Yeah, was Andy Warhol surreal? I don't know if he was. I don't really know what surrealism is, but we'll just go with it.
Sounds good.
And then Joe Piscopo, comedian from Saturday Night Live.
Yep.
Comedian in quotes, because there's argument whether Joe Piscopo was ever really really funny, but he was kind of funny with Eddie Murphy. But I'm pretty much considering Eddie Murphy did like 99.9% of that work, so.
Yes, and Eddie Murphy wasn't one of the guests for WrestleMania, so
he was
thereby,
not. No,
thereby Joe Piscopo was probably not funny.
Yes, that's a good point. And then Billy Squire, the rock singer who is probably has the worst music video of all time. No, Rock Me Tonight. Have you ever seen Rock Me Tonight?
Yeah, it's pretty bad too.
Okay. I don't really remember the stroke, but Rock Me Tonight with the dancing and the gyrating, not so good.
Okay. Yeah. So that was pretty bad.
The kids should YouTube that if you want to laugh, and then actor Danny DeVito. was the final one. And then actually Piper comes in and then like cuts like a really great promo on Hogan and Mr. T. And the other things, there are, well, a couple of other angles that set it up with Piper confronted Mr. T on the set of the A-Team. And there was another angle where the teams sort of, not exactly a debate, but they had a little summit in the middle of the ring at Madison Square Garden. And each side offers the other side a mock chance to get out of the match. And then Piper displays animated pictures of Mr. T being injured. And then Piper puts on his Mr. T wig, which angers Mr. T. And then the heels decide to escape. So you don't want to get Mr. T angry.
You definitely don't. I had a quick question for you. Was there, you know, I guess, you know, obviously this wasn't the day and age of the internet and things like that, but was Mr. T considered a pretty big surprise, or did everyone kind of see that one coming?
I think he was a decent surprise. You know, I mean, I don't know if he had any direct involvement in wrestling before the, you know, the run at War to settle the score. I'm not actually sure about that. You know, I mean, I think that this was a time where Mr. T was like seen as like a legitimate tough guy because he was a actor with muscles. I think that's kind of all you needed in 1985. You know, people didn't really know anything about real fights. So, they just assumed that Mr. T was, you know, could be an ass kicker. And, you know, he was pretty athletic. I mean, he did do a nice, I mean, he, you know, as we talked about during the match, I mean, he did actually very, you know, nice match. I thought, you know, you know, good performance and, you know, was an athletic guy. And obviously, you know, he definitely looked the part. And, you know, Mr. T was clearly the bigger celebrity than Hulk Hogan in 1985. I mean, Hogan was, you know, the biggest star in wrestling, but wrestling was still, you know, yet to really make that, you know, national media breakthrough, you know, where, you know, WWF became synonymous with wrestling and, you know, wrestling became something that was viable on a national level.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's kind of weird, you know, you look back and, you know, you kind of laugh about Mr. T, but man, in mid-80s, he was just insanely popular. It's amazing how popular the A-Team was, and you know, he was far and above the main guy on that. And,
yeah.
And, I mean, that was, you know, that had to be considered a pretty huge get for WWE, you know, and it pretty much worked out perfectly, you know, how it all went down. So, I mean, that was... You know, just you know, you wonder, you know, say they get someone that wasn't as popular and it bombed. You wonder if WrestleMania would have been able to stick around even.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, legend has it that, you know, Vince McMahon put all of his, you know, his money into this show, and if it hadn't have been successful, he would have gone broke. You know, whether that's true or not, who knows? But that's the legend. And you know, the other thing is. You know, the tickets were not, like, particularly, like, it didn't necessarily look like it was going to be, like, a huge success until, you know, really the very last week. So, you know, it's interesting. I mean, we you know, think of it as just as a huge success. And, you know, Hogan is a huge success. And it was, you know, it was tenuous until the end anyway.
Yeah, that is interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, apparently it was. Yeah, interestingly enough, you know, in 84, you know, Hogan was not, I mean, you know, he was the number one guy in wrestling, but he still, like, he wasn't a roaring success everywhere they went. I mean, he was very successful in certain markets and, you know, and did okay other places and, you know, kind of failed some places, you know, that really, you know, that weren't accustomed to WWF wrestling, I guess. So, you know, there was some, you know, consternation early on in his reign, you know, of that they'd put the title on him, you know, from what I understand, from what I've, you know, from what I've read.
So were they considering other guys, or was your guys in other promotions considered?
Yeah, I don't know if it ever got to that level where they, you know, they were seriously, you know, considering going with somebody else. I think Snuka was someone who was considered for a while, you know, as a possibility maybe, you know, because he was obviously really hot in, you know, 82 and 83 and into 84, at least until the Piper feud, which was, I believe, late 84. And actually ties into this a little bit because Jimmy Snuka's in the Hulk Hogan Mr. T corner and Bob Orton is in the Piper Orndorff corner.
Mm-hmm.
And also the other special guests, we have Muhammad Ali, who is the referee on the outside. Pat Patterson, not a guest, but he's the inside referee, which you know, he didn't do too often. And Liberace was the guest timekeeper. And Billy Martin did the ring introduction. So they, you know, got some pretty good famous people involved in, you know, in this. Obviously, you know, Mr. T being the big get, but obviously Muhammad Ali just, you know, tremendously famous. More involved than I remember him being. You know, he actually, you know, kind of gets in at one point and then chases Piper out and, you know, takes a swing at him.
Yeah, that was kind of a cool scene. Yeah, I enjoyed that part.
Yeah, I'd forgotten about that. But, Piper's just really, really awesome at this point. His demeanor, the way he talks and the way he can get some under somebody's skin. I mean, he was really funny, but he was also, like, he wasn't a cool heel at all. I mean, well, maybe he was a little bit of a cool heel, but he was definitely, like, he could definitely get under your skin and be really obnoxious and, like, you know, I don't know if he was, like, he certainly wasn't trying to be a cool guy, you know?
Yeah, I think he was, like, kind of a cool heel, but there's no way that anyone could ever like him. You know, there was cool heels, you know, in the late 90s and things like that, where people were, you know, they kind of root for him. But, you know, back then and the way wrestling was, and, you know, there was kind of that, you know, obvious line between good and bad. Even if he was a cool heel, I don't think anyone still liked him. That was,
yeah, I mean, there may be a very small, like, tiny, but you'd have to be like a pretty, like, you'd have to really want to root for the heels in order to like Piper, I guess. You know, you have to really have that type of personality.
Yeah. And throw in Mr. T in the other corner, pretty much, you know, everyone's going to root for him.
Yeah, definitely.
Know,
yeah.
Whatever team he was on.
Right. The match is, it's a fun match. I mean, it's not like anything, anything ground shaking by any means, but it's, you know, it's an entertaining ride. You know, I like, I like the early stuff, you know, Piper, Orndorff, and Orton all, you know, sharing a pre-match hug, just, you know, trying to have some unity, trying to be buddies, you know, just three guys, just, you know, being a team, that's always good. And also lost my notes for a second. There we go. And, you know, one thing I thought was funny is they, you know, start off with Orndorff and Hogan, and then Orndorff refuses to lock up and then tags in Piper. And then Gorilla mentions that it's unnecessary because no contact was made between the two, which I had forgotten that was actually a rule in wrestling. So go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I didn't know that either until you mentioned that. So.
Yeah, I always like it when they bring up the archaic, seemingly archaic rules that, like, are, you know, because there's never any, like, you know, bother of, like, you know, trying to, like, treat it like a sport anymore, so you don't get that kind of stuff. So I'm always tickled by that kind of thing.
Yeah,
so,
you definitely noticed that it was treated like an actual, you know, this is real and this is sport and, you know, this is... You know, the rules, whereas, you know, today you wouldn't get that at all.
Not very much. Not, you know, they'll still do it occasionally in, like, super important matches, but that's, you know, that's definitely pretty rare. I should mention here that the commentators, Gorilla Monsoon and Jesse Ventura, and, you know, people, you know, love Gorilla and Bobby Heenan, and rightfully so, because they were awesome together. But Gorilla and Jesse are pretty close to that level, I think.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know. I think I might prefer Gorilla and Jesse.
Oh, really?
Gorilla and Bobby Heenan.
Wow, that's blasphemy in some quarters. Explain yourself.
Well, you know, I don't know. Like, and maybe it's just I listen. You know, I've got too much Heenan from WCW in my head when I think about this. But, you know, it almost seemed like. You know, Heenan was almost like everything was a joke, you know, in a sense. And again, maybe this is just I'm basing this too much off of WCW. Whereas, you know, Ventura, you know, Jesse was, you know, it came off, you know, silly and stuff. But he treated it as being serious and really took offense to what what Gorilla's saying, you know, and I don't know if that makes sense, but that's kind of how I took it, you know, when I think about those two.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I think the one thing about Ventura, and I agree that Ventura overall, I think, is better than Heenan. Now, I do think that Gorilla and Heenan had special chemistry, but I think that Ventura was able to really do a good job of getting guys over, both the faces and the heels. I mean, particularly the heels that he really cheered for and really liked, like Savage, Rick Rude, Jake Roberts, you know, those type of guys that, you know, you could tell he really liked. He would really do a lot for those guys. But even the baby faces, you know, like, you know, he would make fun of Steamboat and Santana and stuff, but, like, he would also, you know, like, A, he felt sympathy for those guys because Jesse was being mean to them. And B, like, he still, like, he did it in a way that, like, didn't bury them, but, like, made them seem, like, you know, made them seem good, you know? And
he still kind of acknowledged their talents in a sense.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he was, you know, he was great. I think he's the best that I've heard as far as being a color commentator. And Heenan's up there, but Heenan had the really bad, you know, bad WCW years, and, you know, Jesse didn't, you know, I guess his last couple years in WCW weren't great, but no one was really watching then, and, you know, everyone, well, not really everyone, but a lot more people were watching Heenan's bad years than were, you know, watching, you know, Jesse's bad years, and I don't think Jesse's bad years were nearly as bad as Heenan's, so.
I agree.
But, yeah, so the match, you know, after the shenanigans, Mr. T wants in, and the fans are really into him, so they so Hogan tags him in, and they go nose to nose and trade some slaps, and then they do some wrestling. Piper, you know, does a go behind takedown, and then T finally slips out after a few tries, and they, you know, they lock up, and Mr. T hits a fireman's carry slam, and then that's when they do a big schmoz. We're all four get in the ring, and that's the point where Ali helps break it up and even gets a jab on Piper, then tries one on Orton. And then the heels decide, well, you know, enough of this. We're going to go back to the dressing room. But Hogan refuses to let the count happen because, you know, he wants these men. And they come back and attack, but the faces ram their heads together. And then Hogan clotheslines Piper into the corner and then hits an atomic drop. And he and Hogan and T do a double clothesline. And then eventually, T comes in and takes down Piper, gets a hip toss on Orndorff, and Hogan boots Piper over the top. But then Orndorff clotheslines him from behind the floor, and then and Piper gets him with the chair. So Hogan is now your face in peril as the heels double team him with chokes and, you know, other nefarious means. And T tries to run in and help, but Patterson restrains him, and the heels even get a double atomic drop, which you don't see that too often.
No, you don't. No.
And then Orndorff kind of works him over, stomps him down, and suplexes Hogan. And then Piper comes in and knocks him down with punches and knee lift. You know, you're talking about basic but well executed stuff. Orton gets a elbow from the top rope. You know, the heels are kind of working each other over, you know, with quick tags. Orndorff gets a backbreaker, but then he misses a knee off the top, and that's when Hogan gets the hot tag, and he does some eye gouging, but the heels end up double-teaming him. And then Orndorff outworks T a little bit on the mat, and then tags Piper in. And he tries to hold T off with a front face lock, but T ends up getting a tag on Hogan anyway, and then fends off the heels, bumping their heads together. And although Orton does get a back suplex, I'm sorry, Orndorff gets a back suplex, and then the finish comes with Orton. He tries to go in, but Snuka knocks him down. And then Orton manages to get to the top and tries to get Hogan with the dreaded cast, but then nails Orndorff instead. And Hogan gets it for the pin. So it's a 13-minute match. You know, I It's very simple, based, you know, on that. I basically recounted most of the moves in the match, which usually takes a long time, but was relatively quick there because, again, you know, they do basic stuff. But yeah, it's not a slow match by any means. I mean, it's a good pace.
Do you think that they had to have this kind of match where they had a lot of people involved to for this first WrestleMania? It couldn't have just been a one-on-one match. Do you think they needed to do something like this?
Well, I mean, I think this was, I mean, this was kind of like, you know, obviously the Hogan Piper feud had been going on for a while, and this was kind of like, I mean, this was kind of like the next step. I mean, bringing in the guy, you know, I mean, I think we think of feuds are structured differently today, where like, you know, your big tag match wouldn't be like, I mean, it wasn't even the finale of the feud because it continued into 85, but I mean, this match would be bigger than a Piper Hogan singles match, I guess. I guess because of the celebrity and because of, I guess mostly because of Mr. T, I guess, you know. It was, you know, that I mean, that was really the draw, and you know, obviously the Hogan Piper feud, but you know, the idea of seeing Mr. T wrestle, I think, was really what you know, drew a lot of people to this.
Yeah,
Certainly
they
drew the main,
definitely.
certainly drew the mainstream publicity.
Yeah, they definitely hit the jackpot. You know, they could have chosen a million guys, but you know, that was, you know, worked out perfectly with Mr. T. And you know, like you said, he was fine in the ring, and you know, didn't embarrass himself, and
Yeah, I mean, I'd
end
call
of the
it.
match.
Yeah, I'd call it. You know, I'd as far as celebrity, you know, involvement in a wrestling match, I would say it's, you know, near the top five.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and you know, so it's definitely good stuff. I forgot to mention the Mr. T and Hulk Hogan appearance on Saturday Night Live before the before this. I only saw one. I could only find one skit of it, or one sketch of it. It was, I believe that it's the Billy Crystal. I think it's the one who like, he does a funny voice, and he's like, I remember Fernando, who's like, you know, everything is fabulous. I think that might have been it. And then like Mr. T and Hogan are trying to sort of talk like him. I don't know. It wasn't that good, but that wasn't the best year for Saturday Night Live.
No.
Which you could say that for a lot of years, I guess.
That's not the good years.
I completely forgot about the Richard Belzer interview, which is pretty crazy. It's a pretty famous thing. Richard Belzer hosted some sort of late night show. I forget what it was called, but he's interviewing Hogan and Mr. T. And Mr. T and Hogan are kind of being like, you know, they're portraying that wrestling is real, but they're being like Mr. T's trying to like be like, you know, like I'm a real tough guy and I'm, you know, I'm a fighter, and Belzer isn't really having any of it. He's kind of being smarmy, and so Hogan says, well, you know, I'll put you in a move, and you know, one of those, you know, we'll see how fake it is kind of thing. And so Hogan puts him in a front face lock, and then suddenly Richard Belzer goes limp and falls to the ground. And and the funny thing is he like he actually like gets up, and he has like kind of the, like he's down for like a he's down for like 5 seconds, and then he like pops up, and you can clearly tell he's got like a dazed look in his face, and he says something like, you know, we'll be back or whatever. And then when they come back from the commercial, they've got like, you know, some old, probably the executive producer or whatever there, or the director or whatever. And then, you know, with, and he, you know, and they're all sitting on the couch, and then, you know, they kind of explain the situation, and then they have, you know, Hogan and T talk about it. And then Hogan, like, you know, isn't really thinking about what he's saying. And he kind of says like, well, you know, if he hadn't been, you know, if he, I'm, you know, if he hadn't been so small or out of shape or something like that, like, you know, it would have been fine. Like, you know, so you know, you could tell he felt bad, and like he, you know, it was clearly an embarrassing situation. But and I guess there was a, you know, kind of a big lawsuit about that. But and that was, I think, like 2 or 3 days before the show. I mean, it was very, you know, it was very close to the show.
Do you think that helped build it up?
I don't know. I don't know if that would. I mean, that probably got some pretty good publicity. So you know, it's certainly possible. I don't know, you know, if it affected. I don't know when the when exactly it sold out, if it didn't sell until the day of, or if it sold out like, you know, a few days before. But I mean, certainly, I don't know if that, something like that happened today, I think it'd get decent publicity.
Yeah, that I think
especially
that'd
the
be
TMZ
seen
era. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that'd be seen all over. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, the one important thing at the end of the match is that Piper and Orndorff, or no, Piper and Orton, two O names. Piper and Orton end up walking out on Orndorff, who's still, he was knocked out from the cash shot. And then when Orndorff gets up, he, you know, he sort of, he and Hogan and T sort of stare down, but kind of, you know, they don't get in, you know, in fisticuffs or anything. And that kind of leads to Orndorff turning into a babyface, which he lasted about a year. And then he turned a heel on Hogan, and he and Hogan and Orndorff had the biggest, at least house show feud in WWF history at the time, and that lasted until probably, you know, the height of Austin. So,
yeah, that was a great, great feud. Yeah.
Yeah. So, lots of good matches between Orndorff and Hogan. Orndorff isn't really remembered.
Yeah.
As well today as maybe as he probably should be, but
yeah, I was just gonna say that he kind of gets lost in the shuffle with, you know, Piper and Hogan. You know, and those guys in that era, I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, Orndorff was, you know, every bit as big for a while. Now his popularity didn't last. He got hurt during that big Hogan feud, and then kind of, you know, faded for a while, and spent a few years in WCW, but didn't do, you know, was kind of a, you know, mid-level guy there, and never really, you know, got back to being a main event guy. And you know, he didn't, his promos weren't the best. That kind of hurt him. But I mean, he was, you know, he looked great, and he was, you know, very good in the ring, and you know, he had, you know, I've heard his work in Mid-South before this in particular is very good. I haven't actually really seen any of it, but, you know, he wrestled in, you know, different places and did pretty well for himself.
He also had a great pose down with Tony Atlas on an excellent classic bit.
That was a great
right?
pose down. Yeah, I would say, I mean, I would probably say that that would be like in the, probably the top five pose downs of all time.
Yes, I would agree. Yes.
I mean, you got your Ultimate Warrior and Rick Rude.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
You got
Jesse on commentary was classic on that too.
Yeah, that is very good. Yes, you've got your Scott Steiner and Triple H.
Yeah.
Any other classic pose downs you can think of off the top of your head?
Did Buff Bagwell, did he ever have any with anyone? Because that would seem like it would be the case.
That
he
does
had to at some point, doesn't he?
It feels like there that should be a thing. I don't remember it off the top of my head, but let's take a look at the internet and see if we can find anything for Buff Bagwell pose down. Although I'm kind of afraid of what we might find. Wait a minute, there is. Stacy and Tori Wilson defeated Billy and Chuck in a pose down match, which is interesting. Oh, there was the Total Package versus Buff Bagwell
Lamboree
2000, where they did a pose down.
There you go. Yeah, Lex Luger would be another candidate for pose down.
Okay. Yeah, this may not have been an official pose down. It may have been more like a before the match we're going to pose because we're you know, because that's what we do. So, those are the only immediate pose downs I can recall. I'm sure there are other ones, but you know. So, unfortunately, our pose down related knowledge is not quite as vast as it should be.
Yeah,
which,
so
go ahead.
Maybe we can research and come up with an entertaining pose down podcast. I'm sure that would.
I'm sure that would be great.
Be popular.
Yeah. Yes. All right. Well, anything else you got anything else on the match?
No, that's a good match and
okay.
You know, great
yeah.
way to start WrestleMania.
Yeah, it's a you know, for historical purposes, definitely worth seeing. As far as match level, it's entertaining and there's nothing wrong with it. It's nothing you need to go out of your way to see, but as far as in-ring quality is concerned.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, and you can find us at facebook.com/WrestleSpective or twitter.com/WrestleSpective. You can also find us, of course, at WrestleSpective.com. And Also, if you want to send us a message, give us feedback, or if you have any suggestions for topics or matches you would like us to discuss in the future, you can email us at wrestlespective@gmail.com. So thanks a lot for listening, and we'll talk to you again.